One of the ways that I have been blessed in this job is by Karen singing. It happens all the time. I'm in my office during the week, and there are some Karen people cleaning the church, and they're singing. Karen people love to sing when they're together, when they're alone, when they're at church, or when they're in homes and their prayer meetings. Song is always part of it. One time, I was on a camping trip with them, and it was really cold, and nobody could sleep, and so they started singing at 5:30 in the morning in their tent. When we sing, things change. Sometimes we whistle if we're a little nervous in the dark. It gives us company. The same is true of singing. It can calm us down. Sometimes it can rev us up. It's an important part of why we worship God. It's not also something that we do in addition to worship. It is worship. Because when we sing, something happens to us. There is an opening up of ourselves before God. And that is the power of song. In many Karen Bibles, there is a hymn book built right into it. You get to the book of the Revelation, and the next are notes and music for the next 100 pages or so. But the fact is that any Bible has a hymn book already built into it. And it is an ancient hymn book. It was songs that the Hebrew people sang as they worshiped God. They expressed their joy and praise of God in psalms. Psalms are also the cosmic complaint department. God is questioned. People express their disappointment and frustration with God. They express their anger with opposing nations and for enemies that are closer at hand. People have used the Psalms to call out for help, and they give voice to their experiences, both the good, the bad, and the ugly ones. We have this in common with all people. Our passage today is a song of ascent. Jerusalem is at the highest point of all the hills and mountains around it. And so if you were going to go to Jerusalem, when I ride my bike, I always hate it that I got to ride uphill at the end when I'm most tired. But the pilgrims that would come to Jerusalem, they would be singing these songs of ascent. Now, some of us remember the old TV show called The Jeffersons, okay? George Jefferson made some money with dry cleaning, I think, and he got to move on up to the east side, and he had a fancy apartment. Deluxe apartment in the sky, wasn't it? Something like that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what happens is that when we think of these psalms of ascent, it's moving on up. It's moving on up to the temple, to Jerusalem, to the place where God is closest. A pilgrim was always walking uphill as they ascended to the temple, and they would sing on their way in anticipation of the celebration. These songs would be blessing Jerusalem and the temple. They would be reminders of God's faithfulness to them. Our psalm today includes, "Let us go to the Lord's house and worship before his throne." They so much wanted to be in God's presence. The anticipation of that, the looking forward to that, was in the songs that they would sing. And they would sing so that it wasn't so wearisome, the trip from wherever they were coming, because there was no public transportation. Your feet. Lord, do not forget David and all the hardships he endured. Remember, Lord, what he promised, the vow he made to you, mighty God of Jacob, that I will not go home or go to bed, I will not rest or sleep until I provide a place for the Lord, a home for the mighty God of Jacob. In Bethlehem, we heard about this covenant box, and we found it in the fields of Jearim. Let's go to the Lord's house. Let us worship before him. Come to the temple, Lord, to the covenant box, to the Ark of the Covenant, the symbol of your power, and stay there forever. May your priests do always what is right, and may this be a blessing, and may your people shout for joy. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This was the song they sang as they were moving on up to Jerusalem. Don't forget David, the psalm begins. And I think that they mean don't forget David, but they are also using David as the embodiment of who they all are. Do not forget us, they're saying, as they come to Jerusalem. Do not forget us. I believe they're using David as an example to represent all of Israel. Don't forget our, remember that you have promised to be faithful, God. Remember that we recovered the Ark of the Covenant, the very sign of your presence with us. You were with us in the wilderness and near to us and at Shiloh for all those years. Enemies captured your covenant box, and we brought it back and we recovered it from Bethlehem, brought it to Jerusalem, where David had made his capital. We long to be near you. That's why we're coming. We're coming up to seek your presence. Don't forget. Remember us, God. We are coming to the temple. Now you come to the temple, Lord. Arise, 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 O Lord, and stay with us. They were coming in the fall, this time of year, for the feast of the dedication of the temple. It was an annual fall celebration. This happened every year. And they would come to rededicate the temple. They would come to rededicate themselves and feel the closeness of God again. The psalm celebrates the life and actions of King David. It describes the attempts that he had to please God, to be near to the presence of God. This was the song that they used. But it's interesting because the fact is that they say, remember David and his hardships. And remember the time. Remember the time when he are in a tent down below me. He says, I'll build you a proper place to live, a proper temple. And he asks Nathan, his prophet. And at first, Nathan thought it was a good idea. But as Nathan thought it over, he had a vision. And even though David's intentions were good, as he looked out from his luxurious palace, rather to the poor tent down below where the Ark of the Covenant was, he said, no, Nathan said no to David. No, you're not the one to build it. He warned David not to build it. What could possibly be wrong with that? David had consolidated all the power. He had joined the tribes together. There had been a lot of internal political struggle, and that wasn't over. It wasn't over even to the end of his life. And yet now he was living a rather different life, from hiding in caves from Saul. And he wanted to bless the Lord, but Nathan said no. We don't know all the reasons why. It seems like a logical thing. After all, it was David that did all these things. Theologians have different guesses about it. The first problem may be that the temple was a permanent building. You don't box me in. Yes, I understand your intention is to honor, but when did I ask you to build this? I never asked you to say, you know, this is kind of shabby. I need a new place to live. From the time of the Exodus, he was with the people. And that what was most important, that God wanted to be with his people, he could move with the people when he was in the tent of meeting and the Ark of the Covenant was there. Yes, well, one day you should really build me a nice place. God never said that. To build a permanent temple seemed an attempt to control God and to limit God's freedom. You know, this was a debate even after the temple was built. And then years later, it was destroyed, and the people came back from the exile, and they were planning to rebuild the temple. Isaiah said, "Heaven is thy throne, and earth is thy footstool. What is this house that you would build for me?" Even after there was a temple, Isaiah, in his prophetic voice, said, "Are you trying to box me in? I'm the God who the footstool is earth, and whose roof is heaven. Are you the one to build me a house to live in?" He had been used powerfully by God, but there was a lot of warfare that had gone on. The book of Chronicles suggests that David had shed so much blood that in the wars that he was not the person to build the temple. It would be his son Solomon, who was a man of peace, to whom God had given peace. and rest from his enemies that would build the temple. It ended up that David would not build God a house. His intention was there, and the psalmist and the people moving on up to Jerusalem were singing of that faithfulness and that intention. But David would not build a house for God. God would build a house for David, in that he would build a dynasty. And we forget because the history is so compressed. But there was a king in the line of David, a physical king in the line of David, for 400 years. And we believe that that lineage continues in Jesus. God was building David a house, not the other way around. As we come to worship today, are we coming with the anticipation of those pilgrims? Are we coming expecting that the presence of God is near at hand? Heaven in whose footstool is earth? Or is God a Sunday-only God? Sometimes I think we all tend to put God in a box. In a part of our lives, maybe, but not all of it. In a part of our world, but not all of it. For some problems, but not all of them, we would limit God. God is saying, I am not limited, even by your imagination, and certainly not by a house that you would build for me. And it is not the place of worship that we honor and that we worship. It is the living God who is here in our midst. And now by the power of the Holy Spirit, we believe. As powerfully as God was understood in the tent of meeting with the Ark of the Covenant, that Spirit is available to us. It came in tongues of flame and a wind at Pentecost. We have come to worship that God who is not controlled, who is beyond our control. We have moved on up to where that presence of God is most real, and it is discovered in our midst, as we join as a community, where two or three are gathered, there I will be also. We all long anticipation of that possibility. And especially in this world where there is so much fear, where there is so much that is not right, we have come today to be reminded that God is still God. Even if King David did not know for sure what he was supposed to do, how is it that we can know for sure? We can't. But we continue to come up to worship, to honor, to be open. The best thing that we can give God is a greater awareness of God in all the aspects of our lives. That's our true offering. That is the way that God becomes present to us. As we become more aware that there is nothing in our lives, there is no place in our lives that God does not touch. Every day there's a coming up. There is an opening to the power of God in our midst. The problem is, again, even David gets it wrong sometimes. But we need to be listening. Because if it involves people, it's always messy. And if it involves God, it's always surprising. It's difficult to know what God intends for us. Most of the time, it's difficult to know what He has in mind for us. We need to continually be going up to the Lord, to that nearer presence. As the pilgrims came singing their songs of ascent, we need to continue to cry out, "Don't forget us, Lord. Remember us," as we anticipate that presence of God. Next week, we begin the season of Advent. Advent is the four Sundays before Christmas. And it's not the shopping days before Christmas. It's the days before the coming of the Christ. It's the days before this light has come into the world, looking forward again, as children do, to this the excitement that is Christmas. As we experience Christ's Spirit in our lives, we need to bring our complaints, our laments, as well as our praise before our limitless, loving Creator. And we may not be climbing the hill to Jerusalem, but our pilgrimage of faith does bring us into that presence of the living God If we open our hearts in song, and if we open ourselves to the power of the presence of God, may we be open to the purposes of God in our lives and celebrate. Don't forget us. Remember us, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you want to be with us, that you long to be with us. We pray that we would be mindful and open, that songs would be on our lips, that in anticipation of your work in us would be always present. Lord, that is often confusing what it is that you want us to do. We stand with David, and still we would be faithful. Help us to be open to you as we come to you, as you present yourselves to us in and through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen.